Chapter 9. Hansel and Gretel and Their Parents. Once upon a time, two children, a boy named Hansel and a girl named Gretel, followed a path of shining pebbles out of a dark, bloody wood and into a small town. The inn of the town was lit, and the children could hear loud voices within. They walked to the door. They opened it. They were met with a roar. "They lived!" someone shouted. And they were swarmed by people, slapping their backs, rubbing their heads, and embracing them. "You did it," they cried. "You survived, and you saved us." It was the man who had been hiding behind the tree. The woman was next to him. She beamed at them. "Most of us," someone said. The cheers began to fade. "And the dragon?" another asked. Now all became silent. Hansel and Gretel stared at the people, their faces expectant, hopeful. "It lives," Gretel said, shaking her head. "The dragon lives." A long, heavy sigh passed through the room. "We're sorry," Hansel said. "We tried." "Oh, well, that's good." There was a young man sitting in the corner. He had a long, fresh cut across his face that was yellow with balm. "The children cried. Well, that makes it all better." Hansel and Gretel stared at the young man and his grotesque, raw scar. "They had a cute little idea," he went on, "and they gave it a shot. Good for you two," his tone suddenly changed. "Do you know I nearly died out there? Do you know that we all nearly died?" "We didn't, though," said a large man with a beard. "We didn't. How many did? How many dead are there?" There was silence. In their minds, Hansel and Gretel saw the bodies scattered among the trees. Gretel thought of the woman whose hair looked like a halo. "They're children," the scarred man shouted. "Children. We followed children to fight a dragon? What were we thinking? What were any of us thinking?" He put his head in his arms on the table. A woman nearby placed a hand on his shoulder. She glared at Hansel and Gretel. The man with the beard stepped up to them. "Don't listen to them," he said. "You did good. Most of us lived. No one has ever survived a fight with a dragon before." "And what's this on you?" said a woman, gesturing at Gretel. Gretel looked down. She was covered in the black blood of the dragon. "We heard it," Gretel said. "We took two of its toes and cut the side of its face." She did not explain that the moon had bitten half its cheek off. She wasn't sure they would understand. Her news was met with a louder roar than the one that had met them when they'd entered. "Heard it! Took two toes! Gashed its face!" The bearded man squeezed each of their shoulders with a meaty hand. "You see, this was just the first battle. We'll get it next time. And now that we know we can beat it, you'll have 1,000 more recruits, 10,000 more. And then we'll be 1,000 times smarter," the young man shouted from the corner, "and 10,000 times angrier. How many people will die for this childishness? And now it will be worse than before. It will take revenge on all of us, on everyone." There were scattered murmurs of agreement from around the tavern. "What have we done?" he moaned. Gretel's face was scorching. Hansel's lips were pressed together so hard they had turned white. "There are dead in the forest," Hansel said at last. "Yes," said the veteran. "We'll tend to them. You go home now." The children turned and walked out of the tavern. As the door closed behind them, something hit it and clattered to the floor. They walked back to the castle as the eastern horizon was just beginning to change from black to deep, deep blue. The moon had set. The air was cold and moist. After a while, Gretel said, "It wasn't supposed to happen like that."
"So?"
"So?" Hansel answered sullenly. "It did." "But how?" Gretel replied, shaking her head. "It must have known somehow."
"Known what? What knew?"
"The dragon. What are you talking about?" "It knew the plan. It saw the apples, and then it came through the woods to take us from behind."
"It didn't know," Hansel scoffed. He felt cold. He rubbed his arms up and down.
"It did. About everything except the wine." Gretel kicked the road. "Who knew our plan?"
"It didn't know," Hansel repeated. "Maybe it figured out the apples were a trap." His stomach twisted. It was a stupid, childish plan.
"No," Gretel said. "No, it knew." At the palace, the queen rushed up to them and took them in her arms. "Oh, my dears, you're safe. Oh, thank God you're safe." They told her what happened, and her face grew long and serious.
"It isn't so bad. You wounded it. No one has ever done that before."
The children nodded. "You did a very brave thing. Very brave.
and she pulled them to her. When she released them, Hansel said, "Where's father?"
"He locked himself in his room while you were gone," the queen replied.
"He was so scared for you both that he was shaking. He said he tried to shave, but he cut himself, quite seriously, it seems."
"Will he be okay?" Gretel asked.
"I'll be fine," their father's voice echoed from across the hall. He limped towards them, a bandage wrapped around his head. He took them in his arms.
"Foolish of me, shaving at a time like this. It calms me down when the barber does it. But forget about your foolish father, you're all right."
He saw the dragon blood on Gretel.
"What happened to you? What is that stuff?"
So they all went and sat before the fire, and Hansel and Gretel told him about it too.
"You were very brave," he said when they'd finished, "and you nearly did a very great thing. You nearly saved this kingdom from the dragon."
"Nearly." Hansel and Gretel repeated the word together, and it stuck in their throats like a lump. Each saw in their minds the dead strewn across the forest floor. At last, the king and queen took the children to bed, with Hansel helping his limping father up the stairs. Once in bed, their father kissed them both, and then their mother did, and then they closed the door and went away. When their footsteps no longer sounded in the hall, Gretel sat up and opened the window curtains. The sun was beginning to come up. She opened the window and let the cool morning breeze blow in. She shook her head to get the terrible images of the night out of her mind, and the weight, the old weight, had returned.
"It knew," she said. "It knew our plan."
Hansel sat up. He felt the weight, too, heavier than ever, as if every person in his family were standing on his chest, and every person in the kingdom of Grimm on top of that.
"Come off it," he said irritably. "It saw us or heard us or something. No one knew the plan until we were deep in the forest, and none of the soldiers ran off."
"Mother and father knew it."
"Oh, please," Hansel said. "Mother and father told the dragon?"
Gretel admitted that that sounded ridiculous. She sat, looking out the window. The kingdom spread out before her under the rising sun. Maybe the dragon had seen the golden apples and figured it out. It had been an obvious trap. A stupid trap. A childish trap. But then,
why did father have a bandage around his head? Gretel asked suddenly.
"You heard, he cut himself."
Gretel nodded. After a moment, she said,
"Why was he limping?"
"Because," Hansel said, and then stopped.
"Was he shaving his toes?"
"Wait, I don't understand," said Hansel.
Gretel stood up.
"Father."
"What about him?" Hansel asked, staring.
"Father is a dragon."
"What?"
"When did the dragon first appear?" Gretel said. "When father was away looking for us."
"When did it kill the kingdom's army?"
"When father wasn't leading the army."
"Who knew of our plan?"
"Mother and father."
"With the wine?
You said the dragon didn't know what was in those barrels."
Gretel paused, but then she replied,
"When did we decide to bring the wine?"
"After we told them, after we told them."
"And now he has a bandage on his head and he's limping."
"No,
it's him.
He's our father."
"It doesn't matter," Gretel said. She went to the clothes she had worn for the battle, lying on a bloody pile on the floor, and drew from her belt a small dagger. She walked over to the door to the hall and opened it. She turned to Hansel.
"I am going to kill the dragon."
Gretel walked slowly down the stairs and through the hall to their parents' room. She opened the door. The king stood in his nightclothes beside the bed. His foot was thickly bandaged, and blood was seeping through the wrappings.
"Where's mother?" Gretel asked.
The king turned surprised. "I thought you would be sleeping. She's in the chapel. Why?" And then, "Gretel, why do you have that dagger? What's wrong?"
"You are the dragon," she said.
"What?"
"You are the dragon," she shouted. She took a step toward him. He took a step back. She stepped toward him again. Then she charged.
"Gretel," he cried as she thrust the dagger at his chest. He stepped to the side and grabbed her arms.
"Gretel, stop, stop. What are you doing?"
Just then Hansel arrived at the door. He watched his father holding his sister's slender wrist with his strong hands. She was shouting at him, "You're the dragon! You're the dragon!" and trying to hit him with the point of the dagger. He shook her violently, and the dagger came loose from her hands. It clattered to the floor. He kicked it, and it slid under the bed. He held her wrist tightly.
"Gretel, what are you doing?"
Gretel's face was red and twisted with fury.
"You did this to us!" she cried. "You cut off our heads!
"You're the dragon! You killed those people! It's your fault! Yours!" And she lifted her little foot and brought it down on his bandaged toes as hard as he could. He threw his head back and screamed in pain. She stomped on the bandage again and again. The bandage began to slide off. Still she stomped. "Gretel!" Hansel shouted. "Stop! You're hurting him!" But Gretel fell to the ground. "He's missing two toes," she said. "He's missing two toes." Her father looked up at her. His eyes were not his eyes. They were golden, with neither whites nor pupils. "Hansel!" Gretel cried. Hansel had seen. He was looking for a weapon. Hanging on the wall there was a sword. He took it down and moved toward his father, the dragon. His father stared at him through golden eyes. "I'm sorry, father," Hansel whispered. "It's not your fault," Gretel said. And then Hansel's sword cut through the air toward their father's neck. And at that moment, both Hansel and Gretel remembered just what it had looked like, just what it had felt like when it had been them, not him. And then Hansel's sword took off their father's head at the neck and sent it rolling across the floor and into a corner of the room. The king's headless body fell on top of Gretel. And just like that, everything was still. Gretel cradled her father's body. Hansel's bloody sword tip touched the stone floor. The light in the room was yellow like the morning. The birds outside did not sing. Then, out from where their father's head had once been attached to his body, two tiny claws emerged. They were quickly followed by spindly black legs, and then the golden eyes and head of a miniature, worm-like dragon. Its long, thin, black, blood-covered body slipped out of the king's neck and scrambled down his shoulder, and before she could even move, over Gretel's lap and onto the floor. It skittered frantically toward the sewage grate, its claws scratching and scraping against the bedroom's flagstones. Gretel shrieked, and Hansel flung himself at it, striking at its skeletal body with his sword. One furious blow broke its back. The next decapitated it completely, but Hansel didn't stop. He raised his sword and brought it down again and again and again, until the evil little creature was nothing more than a mess of black pulpy pieces on the floor. Hansel, breathing hard, eyes aflame, took the ash shovel from the fireplace. He collected the tiny beast's mangled remains and threw them into the fire. The flames roared in greeting, and as they did, a long, high, terrible scream pierced the air, just like the screams Hansel and Gretel had heard in the woods. A moment later, all was silence again, and golden smoke drifted lazily from the blazing fire into the chimney, and then out into the morning air. The dragon was dead. Hansel looked to Gretel. She sat, bent over her father's lifeless body. She was crying. Hansel came to her side and hugged her. And Hansel and Gretel, brother and sister, sat on the floor of their parents' room and thought of all they had seen and all they had done. And they wept. The end. Almost. "Quick," Gretel whispered through her tears, "bring me his head." Hansel looked to the corner where it had come to rest. He went to it and, gingerly, trying not to look, he picked it up. Then he brought it to his sister. From her pocket, Gretel had taken out the warlock's twine. It was nearly nothing, just a frayed strand no thicker than a hair. "Hold his head on," she said. So Hansel put their father's head on his neck. Then Gretel wrapped the twine around it and fumblingly tied it. As she untied it, the twine snapped. She let it fall to the ground. They watched the skin on their father's neck creep together, healing before their eyes. But he did not move. Gretel began to cry harder. Hansel cried too. "We forgive you," Gretel said. "We do," Hansel agreed. Their tears fell on him. And he moved. Gretel nearly threw him off her, she was so surprised. The king groaned. "Father, father," Gretel cried. He groaned again, his eyes opened slowly. "Hello," he said. Hansel and Gretel fell upon him. "Oh, father, you're all right, you're all right." Gretel said, "We wish we hadn't had to do that." Hansel said, "But we did have to." He took hold of them both. "I understand," he said. And then, blinking at them, as if he had just walked into the sunlight after a long time in the darkness, he said, "I understand, my children." Just then, they heard footsteps in the hall, the queen's. Hansel looked at his father, covered in blood. "Father," he said, "did Mother know you were the dragon?" "No," their father replied. "I didn't know myself until just now. I just kept waking up in strange places. I really did think I was shaped." "Okay, get into the wardrobe." So their father got in the wardrobe.
Just as he did, their mother entered the room. "Did you have a nice time praying, Mother?" Hansel asked. She took her children in her arms. "Oh, I can barely pray. I think only of the dragon and of our poor kingdom." Gretel said, "What if we told you, Mother, that we knew who the dragon was and that the only way to stop the dragon would be to kill that person?" The queen looked back and forth between her two children. "You know who he is? Then we must do it right away." "No matter who it is?" Hansel asked. "No matter who it is." "It's Father," the children said at once. The queen gasped. She fell to the floor and wept bitterly. After a long time, she said, "If you're sure it's him, if you can prove it, then yes, I couldn't do it, but I would understand." The children looked at each other and then said at the same moment, "Are we glad you said that?" Then they walked over to the wardrobe and let out their father all covered in blood. The queen screamed. Then Hansel and Gretel explained it all. The queen wept and beat the king's chest with her hands. But after that, she laughed through her tears and threw her arms around all of them. Then she wept some more. "You're all okay?" she asked as tears streamed down her face. "We're all okay," they said together. And they all held one another. One big, happy, sad, complicated family, as tightly as they always should have. The end. Nearly. I'm sorry, before I tell you the very, truly, absolutely end, I've got to interject one last time, for fun, or to help you if I can, though I wouldn't count on it. Why did this patricidal beheading have to happen? Why something so awful, so gruesome, so upsetting? Why was their father the dragon, and did they really, really have to cut off his head? And what about everything that came before that? All this blood and this pain. What sense does any of this make? Is there any sense at all? I don't know. I mean, what does understanding have to do with returning to your family? Or cutting off your finger have to do with turning into a wild beast? What does an old crone with a shackle on her leg have to do with faithful Johannes? Or three black ravens with cages full of white doves? Why is the moon creepy and cold when the stars are bright and kind? Why was the widow a good parent, and yet no more able to protect Gretel than the bad parents? What does all of this mean, those strange, scary, dark, grim tales? I told you already, I don't know. Besides, even if I did, I wouldn't tell you. You see, to find the brightest wisdom, one must pass through the darkest zones, and through the darkest zones there can be no guide. No guide, that is, but courage. As Hansel and Gretel and the queen and the king held one another, the final golden fumes of the dragon drifted from the chimney and out onto the morning air. The gold mingled with the sunrise and slowly suffused itself over the whole kingdom. As the people woke that morning, they saw it. They were drawn out of their houses by it, by the beautifully golden smoke that floated beneath the clouds. They followed it. Without wondering, without saying a word, they followed it. As if they knew upon seeing it that something had happened, something important, and that to find out what it was, all they had to do was follow the golden smoke. Along the roads, the subjects of Grimm walked silently toward the source of the beautiful golden light, toward the castle. "You never told us," the queen said to her children as they sat on the floor of the bedroom, blood winding through the crevices of the stones, collecting in little pools. "You never told us where you've been and what you've done." Hansel and Gretel looked at each other. "You don't have to tell us," their father said gently. "Not now. Not ever, if you don't want to." Hansel held his sister in his gaze. Her eyes, ocean blue, sun bright, were happier, clearer than he had seen them in a long, long time. Gretel returned her brother's stare. He looked unburdened, lighter, and he looked older than he had ever looked. Not old with care, old with wisdom. "We can tell you now," Gretel said. And so they did. Hansel started with what Johannes had told him about the old king lying on his deathbed. Gretel planned to pick up as soon as she and Hansel entered the story. But just then there was a knock on the king and queen's chamber door. "Yes," said the king. A servant poked his head in. "Excuse me, your majesty," he said. Then he saw blood and the king. "Your majesty, are you all right?" "I'm fine," said the king. "What is it?" The servant, named Wilhelm, shook his head and tried not to stare at the blood. "Your people," he went on. "They're standing outside the castle." "What? What people?" "The subjects." "Which subjects?" the queen demanded. "All of them, your majesties." The king and queen leaped to their feet. But why? The queen asked.
I'm not sure, said the servant. I think it might have to do with the golden smoke.
What smoke? Said the queen.
The dragon, Gretel whispered to her.
What? The king said. Hansel gave him a meaningful look. Oh, he said. Right. He turned to his wife. Should we go down? He looked concerned.
The queen looked at her children.
It's okay, Hansel said. Gretel nodded.
But the queen said, no, let them wait.
But your majesty, the servant said, they're calling for you.
Let them call, the queen replied. The king added, try to keep them entertained. The servant was about to protest again, but, on seeing the expressions on his master's faces, thought better of it. He closed the door. Hansel and Gretel smiled at their parents, and Hansel started again. In the hallway, the other servants crowded around Wilhelm.
What are we supposed to do? One asked. Keep them entertained, Wilhelm said. Somehow.
What are they saying in there? Another asked. I think I hear the children talking. So the servants leaned their heads against the door. Hansel was telling of the portrait of the golden princess.
Quick, said Wilhelm. Get everyone you can. Every servant in the castle.
So one of them did as the others continued to listen at the door. When all the servants were assembled, Wilhelm said, Jacob and I, he gestured to the servant on his right, are going to listen at the door and relay everything we hear. Then you pass it down as best you can to the next servant and keep passing it all the way out to the balcony. The royal crier will stand on the balcony and relay it all to the subjects. He turned to the kitchen staff. Go and make food for everybody.
For everybody? The chief cook explained.
Everybody. So the plan was carried out. Hansel and Gretel told the whole tale, from the old king's deathbed all the way through the beheading of their father, and the servants relayed it, as best they could, down the halls of the castle and out to the royal crier, who in turn relayed it to the people of the kingdom of Grimm. The storytelling took all through the day and into the early evening, and then, as the stars were beginning to twinkle, but before the creepy moon had made an appearance in the southern sky, Hansel and Gretel finished. The family hugged one another once more very tightly and stood up. They stretched their arms and legs, and then they went to the door. The servants had retreated to the opposite wall of the corridor. When the king came out, he asked what they were all doing there. Wilhelm said that they were ready to take them down to the great balcony, where their subjects were still waiting. They'd been fed.
You fed them? The queen said. That was very clever of you.
Wilhelm bowed.
What did you tell them?
Wilhelm rubbed his hand nervously over his hair. He looked at Jacob and the other servants. They all looked at the floor. He said,
We told them what Hansel and Gretel told you, about their adventures.
The queen raised her eyebrows.
And let me be the first to congratulate the children, he added quickly, on the successful vanquishing of the dragon. We are all more grateful than words can express. And he said it like he meant it.
The queen looked at the king, but the king only smiled.
Fine, he said. Well done, that's fine.
He too said it like he meant it. And the royal family followed the line of servants down to the balcony. The subjects of the kingdom of Grimm were spread out before the balcony in the thousands, sitting on the ground, eating the suppers that the kitchen had provided them, and listening to the end of the story with rapt attention.
I understand, the crier was saying as the king and queen and Hansel and Gretel emerged from behind them. I understand, my children.
A roar erupted from the subjects. The crier, thinking they were roaring for his telling of the story, took a little bow. But then he saw the royal family. Quickly, he retreated. The subjects' cheers were deafening. Hansel and Gretel stood before them and took it all in. They smiled. Then the king raised his hands. The subjects quickly grew quiet.
I have something I must say, he announced. These two children had killed the dragon. Killed the dragon when everyone else had tried and everyone else had failed.
The subjects cheered wildly. The king raised his hands again for silence.
The dragon would have destroyed this kingdom altogether, he went on.
It would have left it an empty ruin, he paused. He tried to swallow down a thickness that had developed in his throat.
I would have left it an empty ruin. I didn't know what I was doing, of course. I did not know I was the dragon. But the dragon, I, would have destroyed this kingdom if Hansel and Gretel had not stopped me.
The people of Grimm stared.
I can no longer be king. How could I, after what I have done?
In all the kingdom of Grimm, not a single person made a single sound.
I am passing my crown on, and I ask my wife to do the same. We will pass our crowns to our children.
A murmur swept through the crowd. To Hansel and Gretel? to children?
Yes, the king declared, they are children. But they are the wisest, bravest children I have ever known. My wife and I will help them as long as they need us to. But, and here he held up his hand, and all murmuring stopped. There is a wisdom in children, a kind of knowing, a kind of believing, that we as adults do not have. There is a time when a kingdom needs its children. These children. King Hansel and Queen Gretel. Total silence. They will, of course, marry other people, the queen added. Still total silence. And then in the crowd, the tall man from Washend, the bald one with the boxer's nose, shouted out, "But they're just little kids!" Before he could finish, someone else called out. It was a young man with a long hair and a fresh, raw scar on his face. The one from the tavern. He had climbed up on the shoulders of a friend. Hansel and Gretel saw him. His face was shining. "They saved us from the dragon," he cried. "Long live King Hansel! Long live Queen Gretel!" The people of Grimm gazed up at Hansel and Gretel. There was something in what the king had said. About children. About these children. "Long live King Hansel!" the young man shouted again, and then someone else took up the cheer. "Long live Queen Gretel!" Another cried it, and another. More and more. More and more, rising up in a tumult all around Hansel and Gretel. "Long live King Hansel! Long live Queen Gretel!" As they looked out over the people of Grimm, their father leaned down to them and said, "These subjects are your children now." And their mother said, "You must take care of them." "Better," their father added, "than we took care of you." Hansel turned to them and, smiling, gesturing at the crowd, said, "It looks like you did all right." Gretel reached out and took her father's hand and then her mother's. The subjects continued to cheer till their throats strained and the sky seemed to whirl. "Long live King Hansel," they cried. "Long live Queen Gretel. Long live Hansel and Gretel." And you know what? They did. The end. Really?